Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this special night. Lord, we just praise you for all that you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. We love you, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you fill us with your Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and speak through us, Lord, those things that you'd want us to know. Thank you, Lord, for an open heaven also, Lord. And I thank you that tonight's going to be a blessing for everybody that's listening and that's on here. And I praise you, Father, that everybody that's come up on this fellowship has repented and is ready to commune with you, Lord. Lord, I ask that you fill us up so much with your Holy Spirit, there ain't nothing left but you in us. Nothing but you, Lord. We ask that you root out all the old darkness and stuff, Lord, in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, for the healings that are going to take place tonight, the deliverances that are going to take place tonight, and the change that are going to be broken off of people's lives because of this commune with you, Lord. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for coming alive in us, Lord. Show us, Lord, your glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay. I thought Greg would. Oh, there's. Oh, this is the other Greg. Okay. Hey, Greg. Okay. Let's do this quickly because there's someone have to leave kind of early. And what we're going to do, we're going to pray first for anybody that has any prayers that need to be prayed right now. And then we're going to go right into asking about the communion, and everybody's going to hopefully join in and give a little bit of what communion means to you. So has anybody got a prayer request before we get started here? Okay. All right. How many of you watched the YouTube and the teachings that David had on the communion? Okay, good. Yeah, Angelica was telling us that she had an uprise in the communion video on YouTube, and she didn't figure it out until we talked about it yesterday that we were having communion tonight. She said, oh, okay, that's right. So anyway, praise God. Well, I'm glad. All right. I guess there's some questions that I'd like to ask, and I'd like for y'all to answer. We'll all participate, everybody participate, and we'd like to get ready for communion about 8:35 or so, my time, in about 25 minutes. So, with that, what is communion? So this is going to be fun. Go ahead, Joe.
I would say having in common same thing as Christ has us. His body, his life that he gave us, we have to have the same mind as that he is.
Okay.
My little point.
All right. Amen. All right, Julie.
To me, it's partaking of the body and the blood of Christ, and that's his word, that's his life. It's fellowshipping with like-minded, like Joe was saying, like-minded brothers and sisters that we all have, are part of the body, and we're all at different different growth, maturity in our walk, and we all learn from each other, and we all give and receive of each other what we have of Christ.
Amen. So communion is communing with God, right? With Jesus. Okay. Has anybody else got a little more depth for that? Yeah. Tim, go ahead. Oh, I thought you had your hand up. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Greg.
I got kind of stuck when I started looking at it and realizing where it all started. And it didn't start at the Last Supper. It started way, way, way back when Abraham, came back from defeating the kings, and Melchizedek, king of righteousness, also king of Salem or Shalom, came out and gave him bread and wine. And what Jesus was doing was bringing up again that priesthood of Melchizedek, who was a king and priest. Oh, goodness me, I don't know if I can put it into words properly, but, Abraham had a choice at that point in time. He had dealt with two kings. There was the king, Melchizedek, king of Salem, and also the king of Sodom. I need to crunch this down. But that because Melchizedek came out and blessed Abraham. What did he say? Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High who has delivered thine enemies into hand. So Abraham, I'm going to keep saying Abraham, was identified with God. As in, like, there were co's, if that makes sense, cooperators. That's a good word, that'll do. And then the king of Sodom made an offer as well. And Abraham said, look, I'm not even gonna engage in something where you can even, there can be a hint of you taking credit for what he does. Even though the king of Sodom offered all the stuff that Abraham had captured from the was it four kings, wasn't it? Which I'm kind of curious as to whether that was his to offer in the first place, because Abraham had captured it, but he gave it all back to him. He may not have given anything back to him because he gave a tenth to Melchizedek first. He gave to, the stuff that his men had eaten, or the men with him had eaten, and the three, let's call them generals, which were interesting, they got their share as well. So if their share was a third, then the king of Sodom got nothing back. It doesn't say how much, what the distribution was. But that whole priesthood and kinghood, Jesus was reintroducing that back into. More back out of abeyance. It was absolutely, absolutely boggling, and being worthy to partake in that is to me, it's a big thing. Like really big. I'm kind of scared that, goodness me, I've taken it way too lightly all along.
Yeah. Well, when you're communing with God, there should be no sin, right? God is not going to commune with you with sin in your life. So that's why we need to be very prayed up, I should say, when you do take communion. All right, anybody else? David talks about it at length in that 1 hour communion thing that he had. What was it called? The importance of taking communion, I believe, is what the name of it is. And he talked at length about idols, getting rid of idols. If you got idols in your life, he said that Jesus is not your Lord. And you shouldn't commune with the Lord if you've got idols in your life. So he wants us all to be cleaned up before we partake of the blood of Jesus. Okay, anybody else? John, did you know that we were going to have communion tonight? Okay, good, great. I thought I sent that to you too. Okay, anybody else?
I was just thinking about what David had said about partaking of the blood and the body, and how that's just taking Christ. It's like our life. We have our old man, the blood of the old man, and the body of the old man that needs to die. And that's where the life supply is from the old man, but we need the life supply of Christ. So when we take him, it's like a representation of his life and his blood, which is God's blood, to get rid of our old man's blood. I don't know if that's making sense or not, but that's what came to me.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. All right, anybody else? Go ahead, Melissa. I see the name Melissa, and I just automatically say Melissa instead of Missy. I'm going to change that.
Well, it's like communion is a fellowship of mutual participation. It's like communion is like... an act of faith, believing that everything that Jesus did, we can be part of. I mean, he died on the cross, shed his blood, his body was broken, his blood was shed, you know, the bread and the wine. And because of that, by faith, our sins are covered and eventually by manifestation taken away. We no longer have sin, just like he was. He was sinless. But it's, like I said, it's a acknowledgement, a recognition, a faith thing, and that really we can't participate in unless we have confessed all our sins and all, like you're saying, that's what we need to do. Trying to find the words to really express what else going through my mind. It's just not taking it lightly, realizing that Jesus was the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, and he wants us to be the same, and that's why we need to make sure we don't have any sin when we participate in this, because even as he is in this world, even so are we by faith. And we can be partakers of everything, be partakers of his divine nature, which means perfected. It's just it's joining in and being part of everything that he did, that he was the firstborn among many brethren, and were to be the, you know, the many more sons perfected by faith, were perfected. Not that we have already been perfected, like Paul said, but we press on towards the goal of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that is perfection, to be just like Jesus. Anyway, that's just...
Okay.
It's just things going through my mind about it.
What was that in the background?
Oh, that was Merle.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, that's good. I want to read 1 Corinthians 10:14. That's what Joe's got up there. Wherefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a communion of the body of Christ? Seeing that we, who are many, are one bread, one body, for we all partake of the one bread, because we are the soul and body of Christ, right? Or we should be. And David quotes Leviticus 17:11 when he was in this part of it. And he said, for the life, and that word life is soul, he said. And soul, that's the word soul. That's the mind, will, and emotion. For the soul of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by reason of the life. Praise God for that. All right, anybody else? Come on now, let's get this thing going. Come on, David.
I go to John, starting at 6:53. It says, John 6:53, Jesus therefore said to them, truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I in him. As the Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me, he will also live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of the disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who could listen to it? Because they had ears for the letter, not the spirit. But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples murmured this, he says, does this cause you to stumble? Then what if you would see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit and are life. So that's what we have to understand about the body and blood of Christ. It's the words are spirit and are life. So if we're looking at a physical thing, it's not going to profit. It's not there to profit the physical. It's there to profit your spirit. One of the other things here we've got, it's kind of interesting. If we go to Revelation, it says, Jesus, I counsel you to buy for me gold refined by fire, that you would become rich with white garments, that you clothe yourself, and that you would, the shame of your nakedness would not, may not be revealed. And I saw the put on your eyes that you may see. And he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens it, then I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. He overcomes, I will give him to sit at the right hand and down with me on my throne as I overcame and sat down in it. With my Father on his throne. So we got to wonder, well, he's talking about dining with us, and he's talking about the buy silver and gold from him. And if we go to Psalms 19, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The law of the Lord's testimony is sure, making the wise simple. The Lord's precepts are right, rejoicing the heart. The Lord's commandments is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The Lord's ordinances are true, righteous altogether. More of the desired than they are gold. Yes, more than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and extract of a honeycomb. So we know now we're talking about everything that has to do with gold and silver is just the word of the Lord. We're getting into his being cleaned up by it, because we have the fear of the Lord. We're enduring through this fiery trial. When we read the word, and it cleanses us, preserves us, gives us new life in our hearts. We go to Psalm 2. It says, turn your ears to wisdom and apply your hearts to understanding. If you call out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for its hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So we're seeking the fear of the Lord all this time. When we're taking communion, this is acknowledging what the work it's doing inside of us, and the blood and body of Jesus Christ, the word, the precepts, the fear of the Lord. It's getting in us, renewing us, and giving us that eternal life. He says, my words that I speak are eternal life. These are the words that he's speaking. It says in Proverbs 3:13, it says, blessed is the man who finds wisdom, that gets understanding, for her profit is better than gold and silver, and her return is better than fine gold. 8:10, it says, receive my instruction rather than silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. And 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride, arrogance, evil way, the perverse mouth. With me are, in 8:18, with me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine wine, my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may give wealth to those who love me. I fulfill their treasuries. So if we're concerned about looking at the world the way they did in Laodicea and Revelation there, what I read earlier, I think it was chapter 3, he was concerned about them saying they were rich, and he said they need of nothing, but he says, no, you are miserable, poor, wretched, and blind, and naked, because the world had captured their eyes. They had got our eyes filled with the world, thought they had what they needed, and they're okay because they had a little bit of Jesus. But God's saying, no, come to me for that wealth. Come for me those riches. Find that in my word. Find that in my ways. Listen to my words. Put the spirit of life inside of you. Get that wisdom, that knowledge of the Lord, the understanding, the fear of God. These are the things he desires for us to have. And then we'll be wealthy. We'll be rich. We'll be rich in the ways of the kingdom. And we'll have enduring wealth forever. And the way you do that is if he loves you, he's going to rebuke you and give you discipline along the way. Just repent. Repent along the way and stay in the word. Keep on getting that eternal life inside of you, the words of life.
Amen. All right, anybody else? Well, let's do it. Oh, yeah, thanks. I'll tell you what let's do. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask everybody here to pray along with me. And if you, I'd ask the Lord to cleanse you of any sin, of anything that's in your life that needs to be taken care of right now. But we want to be a clean body before we go before the Lord. And because when you're clean, when everybody's clean and goes before the Lord, great things happen. Great things happen. So, Father, I just ask and I pray right now, Lord, to place it in our hearts. Show us, Lord, the things that have hindered our walk. And repent of them, Lord. Ask us to repent of them. And show us how to repent of them, Lord. And Lord, we know that once we repent of them, you have forgotten about them. Ask us, we ask, Lord, that you show any kind of sin, any kind of darkness in our hearts, Lord. Root it out right now, Lord. And I ask, Lord, you do that for me and everybody in here. And Father, I praise you for it. And I'm gonna mute mine and everybody can be praying. Father, I just praise you and I glorify you. Father, sometimes we don't realize that you've already won the war for us. We still think we're in a battle when all we have to do is rest in you and have faith in you, Lord, that you have already cleansed us up, cleaned us up, Lord. And I thank you for that. Father, I ask that you forgive me for any kind of sin that's lingering in my life. And I thank you, Lord, for taking it out in Jesus' name. Father, I don't want to fight any more battles by myself. I want you to fight them for me, Lord. And I'm going to believe by faith that you've already done it. You said it is finished. And if it's finished, then I ain't got nothing to worry about. Father, I just praise you and I glorify you and I thank you, Lord, that by your grace and your mercy, Lord, you have cleansed us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for equipping us with all the faith that we need. You said the faith the size of a mustard seed, Lord, would move mountains. And Lord, we know that sometimes we think that there's impossible mountains in front of us. But you told us that all we have to do is just believe and you can move them off into the water, out in the sea, out there somewhere, out of your way, out of our way. And Father, I thank you for putting this great and bold faith in each one of us to believe that once we pray, all we do from that point on is thank you because it's been done. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing us. Thank you, Lord, for your cleansing Holy Spirit, the power that you've given us. You live inside of us. We're a tabernacle. Glory to God. You live inside of us, Lord. And Lord, how much of you lives inside of us depends on us, how much we want you to live inside of us. And Father, I thank you that we all, every one of us, are striving to have you take over everything, all the way down to our fingernails, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing tonight, this night, during this communion with you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Ooh, getting late here. I'm sorry. In Matthew 26 and 26, it says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it. And he gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, and this is my body. So let's take and eat, partake of Jesus' body, which represents him. And the cup, in like manner, after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, even that which is poured out for you. Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong one. Drink ye. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many unto remission of sins. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes, Father, I thank you for the healings that are taking place right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that the chains of the enemy have broken right now in the name of Jesus. Bondage is broken out, walls coming down, mountains into the sea. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. People being set free when they hear this recording in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Ooh, my. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Okay. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Woo! My. Thank you, Jesus. I feel better all over than I do anywhere else. Thank you, Lord. Praise be to the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Lord in this room. I do. Praise you, Lord. Okay. Whew. I'm just going to meet. Oh, my. That I see. The other night in fellowship, I saw angels with long trumpets. And I haven't told anybody this. I thought I'd share it tonight, though. But I saw angels with long trumpets in the fellowship. Praise God forevermore. All right. Anybody got something they'd like to share? Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and glory high. God is in reconcile. That's all I know. And they say, amen. Thank you, Lord. Has anybody got something they'd like to share? Did God show you something? Raise your arms and say, go ahead, Dave.
I say, did we think we covered enough of the body and blood of Christ, or do we want to talk about a little bit more? Anybody?
Well, we can talk about it if you'd like. Yeah,
I think I like the idea what David was bringing up, how, especially since Jesus said his words are spirit in our life, and he was bringing up the communion thing is more, that's why it's not the physical presence of Christ in the body and bread. It's a spiritual presence. It's so much more than it could be with a physical presence because it's spiritual. With that spiritual presence, that is actually the renewed life inside of you. That's the breath of life, the breath of God that's in you, that spiritual presence there. I mean, that's that reconciliation, that's that Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what all that is wrapped up in communion also because of his body and blood. And Missy hit on that a little bit, and so did Julie, that because of that, that new life of Christ, that renewed life of Christ with that new body and blood, we're getting that when they give you they inject you with new blood, you know, you're getting that new blood, you're getting rid of your old blood, and you get the
transfusion.
New blood. Transfusion, you're getting that transfusion. That old man, that death of the old man is going, the new man's coming in. And so, and of course, you know, we have to give her give we have to go over a little bit. I don't know if I can find it. You guys can really help me with this. I'll find it. It's 1 John chapter 2, is it? And we have to be mindful of that. That even if we've had a sin in our life somewhere, and we know we stumbled, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we confess that sin to him. I mean, that's the covenant we have here. It's not just a rigid standard of legalism we're walking into, and now we've got this, we've got to, you know, come in, stand up straight, and, you know, and cross our T's and dot our I's just correctly. Well, you know what? Some of us stumble along the way, and the Lord has that covered in the body and blood of Christ. You know, he's not looking for willful sin, of course. We don't want to do that. You know, we definitely don't want to, or another one of the great words that David had brought up in one of the Psalms was presumptuous sins. And I had to look that up again because I forgot about that a little bit. Presumptuous is failing to observe the limits, what is permitted or appropriate. I mean, sometimes we go there in our sinful state. We kind of, that carnal man comes out and goes a little place we shouldn't be. But even then, we just pray to the Lord and we ask for his forgiveness. We ask for his guidance. We ask by this body and blood that we are taken of, we ask him to renew our life and give us that mind of Christ, our spirit of Christ, the longing to be like him and to fulfill those that newness of life in us. So this is what we got out of communion and the greatness, the great covenant we've got that we're walking into. It covers our failures. It doesn't condemn us for our failures. It covers for us for our failures and builds us up and renews us and gives us strength to go forward that we can become more and more like Christ in the way. You know, so the beauty of the idea of communion is not just absolutely repentance. It's that never goes away. The repentance. We're always repenting when we're reading the Word of God. We're always trying to, you know, cleanse ourselves and renew ourselves and follow that path. But it's also the promise that the Lord is going to be there. He's got our back. He's behind us. He's going to keep on supporting us and keeping us up, not letting us fall. And if we do fall just for a little bit, it's so he can get our attention. Like Job, he had to put him through all those rough, terrible times in order for him to see just one little part of his life needed to change. Otherwise, he had put him through that rough time for him to see it, because his mind might not have been able to accept it right up front until he was able to expose it through the trial he went through. That's the same with us. That's something we have to understand. Sometimes these terrible trials we go through is to help us push past what was hindering us. And it wasn't to bring us down and destroy us. It was there to help us overcome. And that's what the Lord's in the business of doing, helping us overcome, become overcomers. So I just wanted to share that real quick.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. How far did you read down, Dave, on that 1 John 2?
I think I mentioned it, and I don't think I read anything.
Okay, I want to read down to 6 anyway. My little children, these things write unto you that you may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sin. He's the covering for our sin. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily hath the love of God been perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. And that's what we're striving for. That's what we're looking to do, is to walk right in Jesus' steps. We want to have Jesus all in us. We want to be his full body, right? We want a place to where Jesus is not ashamed to lay his head. That's the body he's looking for. He said he didn't have, he said all of them have a place to live, but he just don't have a place to put his head. Well, he does. If you're striving for God, if you're running after the Lord with all your heart. You know, sometimes we get caught up in the everyday things about life. You know, this comes up, that comes up, this comes up. When he said to get rid of all of that stuff, he said, just run after me with all your heart, and all that other stuff, I'll take care of that. I'll take care of it. Woo, glory to God, that's so awesome. Ain't no ball and chain on Michael. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. I'm running after him. I know we stumble. We fall. Sometimes we fall off in the ditch, get covered up in mud, but we get back up. Jesus washes us off, get back on the road, and we're running after him again. Praise God. And don't look back. Always look forward to the – look at Jesus. I always look to Jesus. Amen.
That covers condemnation too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't get into condemnation. That'll steal you, boy. You'll waller in that mud for days. Go ahead, Andrew. Go ahead, brother.
I was wondering if I can share a song, a music song. I have a song here about communion.
Oh, absolutely.
You can go right ahead, brother. I've only shared ever once. I just pressed that green button.
Yeah.
Host has disabled the persistent screen sharing.
1 minute. Let me see what I got here. All right, try it now. Just click on it.
Okay, now what do I do? Press share?
No, go over there. See the little boxes on the bottom? It says something about the audio and the video.
Share computer sound?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Is that it? Yeah, share computer sound and optimize the screen share. There you go. Uh-oh. You gotta pick which one you want us to look at off your screen, which one you want us to look at. There you go.
It's my body. Take a drink. This is my blood.
Audio. Yes, clear.
Wait now for our Father's kingdom. Wait now. Then we'll be one. This covenant I've made with you will not pass away. This take
my body. Take, drink. This is my blood.
Okay, I like that. That's a good song, appropriate too.
Did you actually hear it?
At the end. When I found I could do, if I muted, it went to messing up, and if I unmuted, it was okay. So I just left it unmuted.
Yeah, that's when you put stuff in your own recordings anyway, for anyone wants to share stuff like that.
What's the name of that? Is that called The Covenant?
The Covenant, yeah, by People in Song. They have another song that's really cool too. I forget what it's called. It's related.
Well, if you'll tell me what it is, I'll put it up there and it'll be a lot better. Well, I'm not saying that you got it the wrong way. No, I have better.
You have a good connection.
Yeah. All right. Well, what's up? Jesus. All right. Anybody else got something they want to talk about?
You know, the New Covenant is also likened, the communion is likened to your cross. It's likened to your baptism. It's likened to your circumcision of your heart. So there's a lot of things that it's like too. And I like to call it collates with it very well. And if you get to thinking of all of them all at once, you can see how it works out.
Amen. Go ahead, Debbie or Denny.
Yeah, I just said I really felt the Holy Spirit just descend. I just felt the Lord just descend, and I don't know. I just was feeling that. Just thanking him for descending upon all the rooms there, and I felt it so strongly because I was just focusing on him and what he did on the cross, and he was pardoning, how he his body was broken, his blood was poured out to pardon us. I was just thanking him for that, and I was just thanking him for. I'm trying to think. Mm-hmm. I need to confess something. There was nothing. There's nothing I needed to confess at this moment. Just confessing my need for mm-hmm. him and my need for his covering, his cleansing, and what he's done, and how he just removes that sin nature from us because of what he did at the cross. Just remembering that, I just really felt myself just rest in that. Just rested in that. I didn't have to do anything but just bask in the remembrance of what he did and partake of that. And know that we're partaking in the body and blood of Christ and entering into that by our dying ourselves. And I just felt his spirit really like descend and come down. So
yeah.
Hope everyone else felt that.
Yeah, I felt the Lord in a mighty way. Yes, ma'am. Anybody else got a testimony during the communion? We're going to have an altar call here shortly. Okay.
Michael?
Yes.
I was just thinking about how good it is to have the communion every so often. Some people don't even have it at all, but I think sometimes in the busyness of our lives, it's good to have it to remember why we're doing what we're doing. You know, why we are partaking of him, why we need him, why we need that exchange, that blood life exchange. You know. It just kind of puts us, you know, because if we get too busy and forget about them, then we don't get cleansed. We don't get changed. We don't, you know, we could go about our busy day and think, well, I'm reading the word, I'm praying and all that stuff. But sometimes I think it's good to remember. It's like, you know, do this in remembrance of me, he says. So I think sometimes we need that. Amen.
Amen. That's Caden Slade called The Covenant. People in Song Okay. Yes, I believe that too. Yeah, I do. I think we need to have this very ever so often just to remind us, you know. And we do. We have it. I think the last time we had it was in April. I think it was, yeah. It's a solemn occasion, actually. Very solemn occasion. When you have the communion. You know, you don't realize until you get in the Word that it is a communion with God, and how holy, how sanctified that time is with the Lord. Like Debbie was talking about, reflecting on what he did for us, poured out his blood for us. Listen to this, 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this cause the world knows us not, because it knew him not. And that's why God wants us to get rid of the world out of us. He wants the world out of us. He wants our flesh out of us. And he don't want nothing but Jesus. Beloved, now are we children of God, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him. Amen. For we shall see him even as he is. Glory to God. That's right, Paula. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. And everyone that has this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And that goes back to, let me see if I can find it here. Second Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image, from glory to glory to glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. The God's Spirit helps us to attain those glories that he wants us to go in through. It ain't going to be from here to here in one leap, folks. Y'all know that. It's going to be up a little bit, up a little bit, up a little bit. But it's making our mind up to do what God wants us to do, that we attain the fastest way. Sometimes it takes years. Sometimes it don't take so long. Depends on, you know, where you are. Everybody's different. That's why I don't look at David all the time and get discouraged, you know. He's been doing a whole lot longer than I have. About twice as long. Or more. Actually, more. I just watch him and listen and learn. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, guys. Help me out here. What y'all seeing? Is God in California, Julie?
Amen, brother. He's right here. Don't you see him?
I see him all up in you, girl. I see him shining out your eyeballs.
Amen. See that glory? You see my halo?
Yeah, I see that glory. I do.
Oh, it's the blood, the blood covenant. Yeah. So this is my covenant. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
So this is my the new covenant. This blood has been poured out for it. It is a new covenant. This is His grace, and he does all the work, and there's just a lot to reflect on. You start thinking about the blood covenant that he made with us, and all the promises that entails, and Yeah, praise the Lord. He's awesome.
Amen.
I put in the chat that it's like it was the blood of Christ that made the way for us to even commune with the Father. You know, he made the way for us. The veil was torn and we got to come into the Holy of Holies because of his blood.
But what is that?
His blood, it made the way for us to commune to the with the Father, you know, that we could come into the Holy of Holies.
I was looking down at the bottom there. You got a YouTube thing here.
Oh, that was the song that that Andrew played.
Oh, okay.
The link to it, if anyone wanted that.
Okay. Man, y'all are awful quiet tonight. George, how's it going, brother?
You always depend on Big Mouth George. No, not a whole lot going on.
Yeah. I don't know if you got the message, but we had communion tonight.
Yeah, I got mine. I got mine beside me.
Okay. We just finished about 30 minutes ago.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that you can't do it yourself. Amen.
Michael?
That's what... Yes.
I have I'd like to pray for this little sister that I met today. She's right going on the right path from the sounds of it. Her name is Summer. Her middle name is Dawn, just that name, Summer Dawn. The sweet, sweet little sister that I met today. She's a blessing. We had quite a conversation going, and she's just, like I said, she's right on the track. She's one of the chosen. Her and her husband. Her husband's name is Charles Joseph. So Lord, I thank you, Father, for me being able to meet this sister. I didn't meet her husband, but I thank you for meeting her. And I thank you, Father, I had some time to talk with her, and that she has a heart for you, and she's not into the nominal denominations at all. She knows there's more to gain of you and grow in you. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to bring her to where she needs to be, whether it's with us or others. She's not going anywhere, Father, but you just revealed to her and her husband, especially her husband, being as he's the head, that of where they need to meet with the ones. I mean, she's from Cleveland. So I if there's any brothers and sisters that are like-minded as you have brought us to be, Lord, then you bring them to that place. But thank you, Father, for blessing her. And I thank you, Father, that you're gonna help them to have the spiritual understanding of your word and give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of you when they read the Sovereign God and the real good news. I thank you, Father, for reception. That she had the acceptance and everything that she received from speaking with her, that was of you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Anybody got a question?
I was just kind of thinking about what Greg was talking about with the order of Melchizedek, and David has a teaching on that, which is really good, the order of Melchizedek. You know, something we can understand about Abraham being blessed by Melchizedek was he was blessed, and he was blessed by Abraham was given victory from the Most High God. And this order of Melchizedek, is without father, without mother, no beginning, no end, supposedly, like the Son of God. And the interesting thing is Melchizedek blessed Abraham, or Abram at the time, but Abram was given the eternal covenant, which we fulfilled in a new covenant, the eternal covenant. So we have this continuation of the eternal covenant in our new covenant. It was fulfilled in our new covenant with Jesus. But also, because now that Jesus is our high priest, And we are partaking of Jesus, the body and blood of Christ. And he's in us and with us. And we're being transformed in the image of Jesus. We're becoming into that same image of the Son of God. We too have this order of Melchizedek in us now. We are carrying on that priesthood, the order. Because it's an order. It's just not, an order is not one, but it's more than one. It's continued through Christ. So it's an interesting aspect about the order of Melchizedek. It's no longer just because we're all considered to be priests. We're all here to do something for building the kingdom of God. So be it. Because we're all in that priesthood. And we always offer sacrifices, which is our putting our flesh or putting ourselves on the cross. So we're always putting that continual burnt sacrifice on to the Lord. So as a priest would in the Old Testament. So it's very interesting how David draws those two things together and puts us in that same Melchizedek priesthood. We're continuing this this covenant, this eternal covenant now, which was fulfilled through Jesus and became the new covenant. Just a comment.
May I add to that, though?
Yeah.
Thank you. There's another thing I've got to go through now. David's teaching on Melchizedek, and I've got a whole lot. I got stuck, to be honest with you. Just on that point, as a first mention of communion. It's also the first mention of priest in the Bible too, Melchizedek, which is also interesting. Just a couple of little side things, because I look at the meaning behind the names and see if there's something in there. And you know, I may be going off on a tangent, but it's just me. So, but you know, the whole thing happened at the Valley of Shavar, which when I looked into that, it was like a. I mean, it gets described as the Valley of the King's Valley. Now, whether that apostrophe goes before or after the S is really not clear. But the meaning, and I think I would go with after. It's a place where everything was equitable, everything was level. There was no one ruling over another person, etc. And that's, you know, I kind of see that as a place where God's saying, meet with me here. And I'm going, oh my goodness. And also, I was just, there was three companions that is mentioned in, it's all in Genesis 14, it's in verse 24. Now, it could be, a couple of things. It could be that when it says that Abraham gave a tenth of all he had, a lot of the inferences in translations are a tenth of the spoil, but that's not in Scripture. It could be like he dedicated a tenth of all. That's all it says, as in everything was his. And the three companions that he said they get their cut were Anah, Eshcol, and Mamre. And I'm trying to work out, okay, they mentioned Scripture, so it's significant. Exactly why, I don't know, but they went into battle with him, and I was looking at the meaning behind the names. Anah comes from the word or boil. I looked at this as like three things we need to have with us, you know. And boil, I was thinking, that's man-child. Eshcol drilled down to stone, which also has a whole lot of references in study I've been doing of late, particularly as a vessel for living water. And Mamre, that name leans towards being vigor. Anyway, just a couple of little side points there that I came out of it when I was going through it. I've still got to catch up to the whole rest of it yet, but I was praying myself, this is kind of significant, a few weeks ago, thought, you know, to show me what is this communion thing that we do? Because, we, you know, in my thing, it's just been a thing that we've done in churches or whatever else the case may be. It becomes a little religious observance, but it actually was done in Passover, and it was part of a feast. Remember once I was having it with my daughters, and we had these little, you know, thimble-sized glasses we put in the grape juice in, and I was explaining this, and my elder said to me, well, why are we having so little? So I got the big glasses out. But it's part of a feast. And where it fits in, and I've got some video on this I've got to go through, but where it fits in the Passover meal is also, is also quite significant. But I won't go into that here and now. And I've watched that some time ago, and I'll rewatch that, and I'll probably end up with about 13 pages of notes. But yeah, as I put in the chat as well, that Melchizedek thing, the whole, it's not just a priesthood, it's a kingship as well that we are brought into. Because Melchizedek was a king and a priest, which in the Levitical priesthood, priests and kings were separate. And Jesus was bringing it back together. So we, you know, that's that ecclesia part of us. We have that authority to govern. But boy, we've got to do it in the right way.
Yeah, that's right. He was a king and a priest.
Yeah. What kind of dog you got?
Who, me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, to quote Inspector Clouseau, it's not my dog. You guys may not get that on it.
Don't pat him.
Sounded just like him.
Oh, my.
No, I'm actually in someone else's place. They've gone away. One of them, had an elderly parent who may be passing away. And they said, can you look after our dogs? Okay.
Amen. Has anybody been reading the Word of God and come across something just recently that was a revelation to you? Yeah, Missy.
Okay. Well, actually, when I was down there last time in Tennessee, the Lord showed me something unexpected. And you all may say, well, duh. But anyway, I don't know. I had mentioned
it. We already said it.
And they had said that they had never seen that either. But anyway... And it was just something that I pondered on for a while, and the Lord took the Peter, James, and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration, and when I was taking a walk, I was reading the random verses that came up on my one app, and that was the context of these verses, and I was just like, the Lord showed me that Peter, James, and John are the only ones that wrote anything after Acts. They're the only three that had epistles or whatever you want to say after Acts in the Bible. And I was like, you know, I was thinking about that. I was like, wow. I'm like, and I'm just wondering if maybe the Lord's picked those three to go with him because, you know, maybe there's more that happened up there that's not written, because we know what it says at the end of John that if all the books were written of what Jesus did, the world could not contain it or something like that. But I'm just like wondering if the Lord ordained them or anointed them or something happened up there or whatever. I don't know, but those were the only three that were with him, and they're the only three that wrote any books after the four gospels, after the Lord's death and resurrection. and ascension. So I don't know, but the Lord showed me that. And I thought it might be kind of, I'm glad you asked that because it kind of crossed my mind that, you know, it might be kind of a neat discussion on, you know, I don't know, it'd be just a lot of conjecture or whatever, maybe, I don't know, but her thoughts about why, I don't know. I just thought it was neat. I never had seen that before. It never occurred to me. And that's just something that the Lord showed me. So I pondered and thought about it for a while. And now that you mention it, you know, it's just something I want to ask the Lord more about, you know. I don't know. It's just, I thought it was kind of neat.
Yeah, that was three of Jesus's closest people. Yeah, Marilyn.
I just wanted some correction here for myself. I always assumed, you know, that Peter, James, and John, you know, it's James and John, the brothers of Zebedee, and then Peter that were with him. But I was always under the impression that the epistle of James was, I never knew that it was written by James, the brother of John. I always thought it was written by James, the brother of Jesus, or James the Less. And I just like some correction of that for myself, because I just never understood that.
I'm not sure, just to be honest with you. Anybody sure about the James that wrote the book of James? Which one, who it was, which one it was?
I've always been under the impression it was the Jesus, you know, physical younger brother or half-brother.
I just assumed that, but that's all. I'm just
looking in my Bible now.
So I thought the same thing about Jude. Jude was Jesus' brother as well.
It probably would have been easier for us if King James didn't change all the names around and super anglicize them. Because the person, the name James in, you know, in Hebrew or what, doesn't translate to James. It just, they just think they want to honor King James, but I've got the wrong Bible here. It doesn't have that information in it. I've got another one that does, but it's not with me at the moment.
Armando put in the chat, he says, James, son of Alphaeus.
There was two Jameses in the group of disciples, though.
Yeah, I don't know which one it was. Which one was it, Greg?
What, James, son of Alphaeus? It was Alphaeus's little boy. But the one who wrote the book of James? I don't think it was either of them, personally.
It was what?
I don't think it was either of them, personally.
Oh, okay.
Who wrote the book of James, from what I recall, I have been taught. And James, the son of Alphaeus, is not James, the son of Zebedee.
Mm-mm.
Was it John? John that was one of John the Baptist's disciples? I think it was. But John and James, the brothers, and Peter were mates or friends, and they fished together. I don't know, something to research.
Yeah, absolutely.
Report back next week.
Okay. Armando, would you like to give your testimony or talk to us?
Hi, guys.
What's up?
Good afternoon. I'm from California here in Silicon Valley. So I just got dropped in this meeting with you guys. So very cool stuff here. Well, I'm a Portuguese guy living in the United States for 6 years now, working in high tech here in Silicon Valley. I preached the gospel for 25 years. I am an evangelist. I've been around the world many years. preaching the gospel in Africa, Europe, South America, United States. I have a ministry called Christ Beyond Frontiers, where I started to be an evangelist after spending 10 years in the church, you know, building churches and training leaders and all that good stuff. So, and I see the discussion here is very deep. So interesting. I was just listening. It's good to listening, you know, the word of God. So I just met you guys 30 minutes ago. So, oh, I'm sorry. My camera is kind of, you know, I was shutting down here. So nice to meet you guys, you know. So I've been preaching every Saturday on Facebook and stuff like that and sharing the gospel. That's what my passion is about. I was born a possessed boy, so you guys know.
Born where?
First day in life, I was born a possessed boy.
I didn't understand that.
What's that mean?
I had a demon out of the belly of my mother inside of me as a baby. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I was about to die every day. And the doctors didn't know what happened because I was perfectly fine according to science. And nevertheless, I was supposed to be dead. I was still alive. So the doctors didn't understand why I was still alive, because I was in a very bad condition. And I spent my life like this with 4 years old, till 4 years old, something like that. And then I received Jesus. You know, it was a very bad time. My family was a very poor family, and it was tough. And, you know, Jesus took me since I was a little boy, and I started reading the Bible, you know, and I learned a lot with God. I was not allowed to go to church. My mother didn't believe. She was possessed, actually, as well. Later on in the life, you know, Jesus helped me to kick out that demon out of her when I was 20 at the time. So it's a very long story. Yeah, I'm married, has two kids. My wife's also serving with God. We serve in the ministry, in a big ministry in Portugal for about 10 years. We did, you know, TV programs and stuff like that. It was the first ones in Portugal at the time. And yeah, and then God took me out of the church at 2010. I, you know, go around the world preaching the gospel. I had my job as well as a Navy officer. I'm a Navy officer since 22 years old. I've been in the Navy for 13. Yeah. And then God moved me around. He said to quit my job of the Navy and go to Brazil. Or I went to Brazil, help a friend to create a ministry in Brazil. For 2.5 years, I've been there. Then I was hired here in the United States in Silicon Valley to a big tech company. Today, I'm at Amazon Lab 126, where we do all the Echo products and stuff. But I keep preaching, I keep teaching, I keep, you know, helping people as I can. End of the story, to be short.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God for the evangelist.
Yeah,
that was my passion years ago.
I would love to hear one day about your story. And if I may, since I'm here, so if I can share 1 or 2 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
So I love what you guys are saying, by the way. I think it's very rare to find so many people that love the word of God and sharing like this. It's very powerful. So thank you for having me. When you said I had any revelation, I think one of the biggest ones I had, it's in the book of 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12 and 13, actually starting 13 says, "And not as Moses, which pulled a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look at the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil he's done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding, and in, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changing to the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So one of the I was reading this verse. I was in a ship, and I was reading this, and what I heard from the Spirit of God was like, we are bigger than Moses now. Moses was the big liberator of the people of Israel that God used. But he said the glory was upon him is not compared with the one we have inside of us. That's why, you know, after a certain time, the shining of his face because of the presence of the Lord fade away. But what the Spirit of God says, now your glory is permanent. It's not going to fade away anymore. So that for me was a big change because people sometimes, and Dave and I thought that the power of God was up and down, up and down. Oh, now I feel this. Now I'm empty. Now I'm filled. No, what I felt is like from now on, you're going to be filled like a battery 100% every day of your life, 24/7. And that kind of changed my life forever. You know what I'm saying? So no matter where I am, where I'm doing, I know I'm always fully charged. So that's what I want to say. So you guys the same.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yep, I ask the Lord every morning, fill me back up. Lord, fill me up with your Holy Spirit, that there ain't nothing me left, just Jesus. And you lead me and guide me, Lord, and talk through me. Sometimes my old flesh gets out there, but God's getting it away. He's getting it out the way. Okay. Thank you, Armando. That was an awesome testimony. We'd love to have you come in anytime.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Did you say you're working at Amazon?
Yes, Lab 126 in software. I'm a program manager over there.
How's that working there? Are those people pretty? Is it you're being in Silicon Valley? Is it very many believers around there?
Well, not really. that's maybe why I'm here, I believe. So. Not really. I mean, there's a lot of occult. God is saying to me that I'm praying for, you know, to destroy occult. There's a lot of occult and stuff. Even churches are getting crazy. I've been, you know, listen reports of people that where witchcraft really take over the church. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. It's just crazy. And people get prayed for, and instead they get the Holy Spirit, they get demons and stuff like that. So I'm praying for people possessed and all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, so there's a lot of that. So I'm cooperating with some ministries here. We were about to do some events, but then the lockdown came, right? Actually, we're doing some evangelistic events. But then we kind of had to stop that idea. So now I'm focusing and teaching over the internet. But California, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, Asian that bring all their other religions.
Oh yeah.
People doing yoga in the church, unfortunately, they think it's just stretching. Yeah, they didn't meet Shiva yet, the demon of hell, so they don't know that. So there's a lot of, as the Bible says, the Eastern culture, the Eastern religions got into California, specifically Silicon Valley and even downtown, I mean, down LA. I'm doing a big project now in LA to actually maybe, you know, pray for me so I can bring a movie out there talking about my life and just my testimony I just share with you guys. So, yeah, there's a lot of work to do, you know, especially in evangelist. As an evangelist, there's a lot of work to do. People are suffering, you know. And I believe God is separating, you know, the church now in terms of the ones who serve God and the ones who don't serve God. And God is just waiting for us to reach more people, I guess. So that's my feeling right now. And so I preach every time I can, you know, there's a lot of response online and and as you guys are doing, I think it's the right thing to do now. And I think this technology is now is just for us to reach out to the world. You know, I'm training several people online as well to get small groups at home. So I'm teaching them how to do that. Yeah, but California needs a lot of you guys, a lot of people like you. We need more Christians, actually, real Christians, to actually to bring the glory of God to out there. And but God is moving. God showed me a wave one time 2 years ago that is going to start cleanse California and cleanse LA. And you start seeing these scandals in LA and stuff like that. It's all God. God is showing like the dirt behind Hollywood. And God told me that Hollywood's going to be holy again. So you guys wait there. Hollywood's going to start doing a lot of movies for Jesus. And I'm start seeing a lot of movement there. I'm start seeing a lot of people moving around, you know, doing mini series, movies that's going to all focus on Jesus. So
yeah,
hang on there because the God is coming in a good old way, old fashioned, you know. So that's kind of what we're trying to do now as well.
So you have good prayer partners behind you a little bit?
Nope. I have myself. I mean, I have some friends, of course. I have some friends that few of them. I mean, I don't have like a lot of people. But yes.
Our little Brett here's got a prayer ministry. If you're coming up against something, you feel like you need some spiritual support, throw it in there. We can pray for you real quick. We can lift
sure.
You up.
I always like people to pray for me. I need all the prayer that you guys can do.
You're probably in a pretty dark area, so if you come across some spiritual pressure and stuff, you need some help, you know, let us know. You know, we can pray that down for you and cast it off.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of. I mean, I have no doubts. I mean, even like when I'm praying, I mean, God, you know, sometimes tells me that, you know, there's, you know, witchcraft being done. I mean, I've been in Africa. I've been attacked by witches and stuff like that. Never worked. So anyway, but yeah, definitely California has a lot of activity against the church, specifically witchcraft and magic and a lot of African and Indian occult, a lot. And so I'm just praying for that. I'm just breaking those powers left and right, praying and preaching and teaching about that. And yeah, being a light, you know. Yeah, if you guys want to pray for me, we can maybe take it offline and maybe talk a little bit more about that. And yeah, it'll be great. I think any help now, it's important because California is pretty much where things happen to the world, you know. Technology and especially TV that strikes the world comes from here. So there's a lot of fight between the people of God and the people of the devil. But anyway, we will win. Actually, we already win before we start, right? So that's the good news. Yeah, I would love to talk more about praying because there's also a lady in Hollywood that is praying. That's called Hollywood Prayer Network. I met her. She's praying for artists and directors. And so this is pretty cool. And definitely I would like to hear more about that people that pray about it. So I have some projects I'm doing right now that can impact a lot the world. So that would be, you know, important.
Amen. Can I pray for you, man?
Sure.
I want to pray for you, man.
All right.
Lord, we thank you for this open heaven you've given us. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity for Armando in this dark area he's in. But Lord, I know wherever he goes, he's that lamp stand and he's the lamp. And Father, I praise you for that. And I ask and I pray right now, Lord, that your warrior angels surround about him everywhere he goes. And place it in our hearts, Lord, to pray for him when there's times that we need to pray for him. Place it in our spirit, Lord, to do that for Armando. He's in a place, Lord, as you know, that a lot of witchcraft. We come against any curses that have been spoken against him, any witchcraft slung at him. And Father, we thank you for quenching those darts, sending them back where they came from. And Father, we thank you for that. As a matter of fact, right now, in the name of Jesus, we break every curse that's been spoken against him right now. In the name of Jesus, we cast it down as null and void. Father, we thank you for a hedge of fire around him whenever he's out ministering the gospel, and that's every time he goes out. And Father, I praise you for Armando, and I ask and I pray, Lord, that you give him wisdom, discernment, and as he goes, that the signs and wonders would follow wherever he goes, that people would marvel at your glory, Father, on him. It's not him, it's you, Lord, that they're looking at. And Father, I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that people's lives will be changed wherever he goes. Lord, and I thank you that every time that before he goes out, that you would fill him to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. And I thank you for it, Lord. I remember talking, reading about John when Peter and all of them were walking around. They were just wondering trying to get in too close to the shadows, thinking that the shadows would heal them. But that's just the overflow of the Holy Spirit running out there. And I ask, Lord, that you do that with Armando, wherever he goes, evangelizing for you, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for blessing him, anointing him, and let your glory be all around him whenever he goes out. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Go ahead, Angelica. Thank you very much. I bet you. Yes, Angelica, going to pray for you too. I bet you.
Yeah, I just wanted to pray. Can you hear me?
Barely, but yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, let me just turn up my volume. Okay. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you so much for this man of God, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you knew him, Father God, before the foundation of the world, and you called him to, Father God, into your kingdom, Father God. And we just lift up him and his family, Lord, and we thank you, Father God, for blessing them and keeping them, Father God, throughout this darkness, Father God, where they are at, Father. And we just bless you. We thank you for that, Father. And we ask you, Father, that you anoint him, Father God, the work of his hands, Father, that you keep him on all sides, Father God, that he not move to the right or to the left, Father God, and that, like he said, Father God, that you would fill him with your glory, Father God, that he would go from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit, Father, that he would fall in love with your word, Father God, and just be so overtaken by a love for your word, Father God, and fill himself, Father God, daily, Lord, that he can share that that word, Father God, the word made flesh, Father God, Christ in him, the hope of glory, with all of those, Father God, that are in desperate need of you at this time, Father God. And I just ask that you open up all the right doors and close all the wrong ones, Father God, and that you just bless him and his family to bear fruit, Father, and give him great faith, Father God, to bring in the lost, and that when your spirit moves, Father God, that he'll be right there, Father God. And we just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, okay. Lord, I just want to speak this to Armando. Lord, that you would bless him to know that all the power that was with Gideon and the 300 that wiped out the 180,000 Midianites is with him. The same power that was with David when he took out Goliath and caused a turning of the people of God to pursue and wipe out the Philistines is with him. The same power that was with Phinehas as he went out with the 1,000 from each tribe against the, again, it was Midianites, as I recall, where they destroyed all of them in their fortified cities and not lost a man, is also with him. So, Lord, I just put that blessing upon him. In opposition to the curses, because he spoke of witchcraft, that would have been spoken in secret places. Lord, I also bless him with the knowledge of the forgiveness that takes away unrighteousness, so that these curses have no cause to land upon him.
Amen.
That those who send them out are left with a hot potato. And Lord, you know, for those people, those persons involved in that, that they would have no option but to turn to the name of the living God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We just praise Amen. You, Father, for the victory for Armando. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you for men like Armando. Thank you, Lord. I know what it's like out there. It's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of heartache too. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Greg.
Sorry, I was just, because you mentioned Silicon Valley there, and because that is near San Francisco, isn't it? Have I got that right?
I don't know.
So now I live in Sacramento. It's either 2 hours from San Francisco.
Well, it wasn't so much about you, but just to mention the Silicon Valley and my awareness that it's near San Francisco. And I found out something in recent days, and I thought, I might just mention something in here and apologize to the US on behalf of Australia. Because what I found out, because San Francisco is kind of known as the homosexual capital of the US. Have I got that right? Is that?
Yeah, there's a lot of perversion everywhere.
So this is what I was going to apologize for, because apparently we, as Australians, have a responsibility for that being in place there. What I found out was in the gold rush in the 1840s, wasn't it? I could be wrong about that. There was a contingent of people who came across from Sydney and set up a place called Sydney Town, and brought in a lot of, not that every Australian went there was like this, but brought in a lot of corruption and perversion. And that, you know, that having become aware of that, and I looked into that a little bit myself, I just wanted to, you know, as because as you can tell, Armando, I don't have an accent, so that makes me Australian. That, you know, just apologize on behalf of the people of this nation for bringing that over there, if I can stand in the gap that way.
If I may add, look, it's not all Australians. Chinese were here when they were drilling the railroads in California.
Yeah, but I'm not Chinese. Yeah, I'm not sure.
You know what I'm saying is, you know, what happened, like the enemy truth brought a lot of cultures. And nowadays, Silicon Valley is not a real United States. Real Silicon Valley is 1/3 Chinese, 1/3 Indians, and then 1/3 all other races, right? And there's a lot of, you know, if you see meditation, oriental meditation, acupuncture, I mean, it's everywhere, right? I mean, so people are getting spiritually depressed, oppressed, some die, because, you know, it's not the United States, actually. It's a complete Asiatic, oriental, whatever you want to call it, Eastern culture. That's not really the Christianity where United States was based upon. And that's why United States is much more in 200 years than all the countries in thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And these things are being shaken right now, right? So the church will have a time that it needs to come out with power, real power, so they understand and they fear the power of the church. Otherwise, there's no other way. God has this plan, of course, and will use us if we are free to be used. But I mean, what I feel is like is a real battle, a spiritual battle right now. There's no, you know, as Jesus said, when I come back, will I found faith on earth? So the times will be like, spiritually speaking, very dry, unless you really, you know, nurture your relationship with God and you know what you're doing. And thanks God, I've been, you know, being guided by God and stuff like that. And, you know, and I don't know why I'm talking with you guys today. I was supposed to put something together. But, you know, it's interesting. But, you know, things happen for a reason. And I think it's an exciting time. I'm really happy to leave this time because I think the church is about to win big deals. It's about to, we will turn the table. So, especially in California, we'll turn the table in California and we'll turn the table in the United States. And therefore we'll turn the table around the world. So that's for sure.
I've got a suggestion about California.
Since
Australia is the problem, they started causing it. You need to come up here and get California and take it back down there where you are. wait, we really don't want California. But Armando's out there now, so we gotta repent and want California now. And of course, Julie.
No, everything has a purpose, you know.
Yeah.
There's already a perforation, isn't there? So we can just tow it away. Just sort of like come away.
Yeah, there you go. Reparations would be fine. It would be awesome. Oh, my. Well, we got a little short time left, not much, but it's been an interesting last half hour. Go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, I feel the Lord saying to Armando that he has brought him here to an oasis. He sees his struggles, he sees the warfare, and he's brought him here to a people of like-mindedness and love and a place of peace, and it is an oasis, and he's saying to return to this oasis. Return for your strength and for your refreshing and your rest, and know that there are many, many around you that do not bow their knees to the world and are with you and stand with you, so to return to this oasis, for I have brought you here. Bow before me and know that my love is leading you and guiding you and keeping you and taking where you need to be and strengthening you, and you find strength here. So.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay.
So if I may, the road I'm going down, we are going facing darkness pretty much, right? So we are challenging, you know, we want the world to know Jesus, you know, and Hollywood was not supposed to be dark and occult, destroying people. And there is a lot of practices down there that it's very dark. Anyway, doesn't matter. The good news is that we are just going inside, like by faith, basically, and we believe that we're gonna send a message to the world that Jesus is the only way. So we hope with our story, we can conquer the hearts of people. So people remind themselves that everybody is seeking for something, right? Everybody is seeking for a God, no matter what. Because there is a hole, there's an emptiness, right? That was supposed to be God there. So we will try to address that and try to tell the world that there's only one person can fill that gap. So hopefully, with the grace of God, we can tell the story to the world. So it's going to be a nice love story, so you guys know. It's going to be around love. So what's kind of interesting. But I believe God wants us to do this because, you know, it's, you have to be by faith. So this is the biggest step I ever take, so you guys know, you know. It has to be by faith.
Do you have family there in California?
My wife and my kids.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah, all my family is in Europe and South America and Brazil. My wife's family is in Brazil. My part of the family is in Europe, yeah. But oh, I have Jesus.
We got people we got people in Brazil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Glory to God. Yeah. Yeah. Matter so fact, you guys can pray. Fact, yeah.
One yeah, of our ahead. Guys in the fellowship is married to a Brazilian lady.
Amen. Yes, so we are two now. We are two now.
Yeah.
My wife is from Brazil as well. She's from São Paulo, the capital, like the central part of Brazil.
Fabiana's from.
Okay, cool.
I guess where she's from. So I don't know. They all run together for me. If I get outside of Arkansas, I get lost. Or Tennessee. Praise God. Okay. Anybody got anything to go to pray about before we get out of here? Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. All right. I'm going to ask Armando to dismiss us with prayer, if he doesn't mind.
All right. We'll do. So let's bow down our heads in the presence of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this wonderful group. And thank you for your spirit that you have sharing your vision, your will, your purpose to our hearts today. So they can be blessed and they can fulfill the vision that you have given through your spirit. So all the dreams that you have given to them, all the purpose and the gifts and all the goals that you put in front of them, so they can fulfill them by the grace and the power of God. So the word of God can fill their hearts and can prosper and can give a lot of fruit, each one of them, at hundredfold in Jesus' name. So I bless them in the name of Jesus. I bless them so they can be the head and not the tail. So they can always be winners, no matter what circumstances they face. They always be winners because they are with the biggest winner ever. His name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And thank you, Lord, because you know each one of us by name and you know our needs and you know what you need, what we need from you. I ask you to fulfill those needs in Jesus' mighty name. And your blessing and your presence and your power go with them wherever they go. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in each one of us, Lord. I thank you, Father, for your presence upon each and every one of us tonight, that we was all sleep a good night's sleep, wake up in the morning with a supernatural energy. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we ask, Lord, that you be with Armando wherever he goes and give him the run people across his path that you want him to speak with, Lord, and allow your Holy Spirit to speak through him, Lord. And I thank you for that, in Jesus' name. Bless everybody here tonight with a good night's sleep. And folks, we'll see y'all Saturday night. Some of you anyway.
All right.
Bless y'all. Thank you, Armando.
I bless you all.
Bless you all.
God bless you.
Bless, like
take care.